Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Come on, Anton. How are you doing this afternoon?
Come on, Dave. I'm all right. How's yourself?
Okay, what have you got? Go on.
So this has been a big week, Dave.
When has it not been? You're like the sports people every day.
Oh, no. This is a significant week. It is illegal now in Russia to call champagne champagne.
It's illegal in, okay, champagne, as in like the drink from France or wherever it happens to be, but good grapes, yeah.
Specifically from champagne.
Oh, right. Oh, I see. So they've taken the word. Yeah, right.
Correct. They have an appellation contrôlée, I believe they call it, which means that only
And the
wines
on Wagga Wagga, which is guaranteed to open up the sluice gates at both ends. Dennis Moore.
So only sparkling wines.
A kick on it like a docker's armpit and all that, yeah. Go on.
Only sparkling wines from the Champagne region of France can be called champagne.
Right.
However, it has transpired that in early July of this year, the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, signed a law reserving the use of the word champagne in the Russian market for wines produced exclusively in Russia. Therefore, the only champagne that you can get in Russia has to be Russian champagne, and champagne champagne has to be known as bubbly wine.
But sure, he can do what he likes, can't he?
Correct. They have gone to the French producers, Moët being most significant amongst them, and said, what's your reaction to this? To which they have said they are hoping the Kremlin will revise its new labelling laws, which is up there with the Irish Air Corps, hoping the Russian bombers will stop invading our airspace. Yeah. There's nothing much we or the French can do about it, lads. Let's be clear.
Or the Kerry Sentinel.
Indeed. I believe it was the Skibbereen Eagle.
Oh, sorry, the Skibbereen Eagle.
In other news, apparently the Russians have quite a history with champagne. They committed heavily to it just before the revolution and actually won an international champagne competition for the best champagne in the world. So there is a certain, it's a bit like the Great War. They take a lot of pride in it. The Pope has given out ice creams. The Pope, that being Francis, has sent 15,000 ice creams to prisoners to help them cool down during what has been one of the hottest summers on record in Italy.
Just like that, he can do that because he's the Pope, in the same way as Putin could do what he did earlier on because he's Putin.
Correct. Not only is he the Pope, but he has a man called an almoner.
And what's an almoner when it's at home?
He's a man who gives out alms.
Oh, right. He gives out alms. Okay. Do you remember Bono gave away 10,000 pizzas in Detroit?
Did he?
Yeah. It was in the middle of a gig and he said, look, you're all hungry.
Why?
Thing. People were hungry. They went, yeah, we'd like a pizza. So he ordered 10,000 pizzas at a Zoo TV gig. And they arrived and people ate them and had a great time. They had a pizza party.
They can't possibly have been able to generate 10,000 pizzas.
It's not
like, there's no way you could ramp up.
You make it look like they. It's just one little shop. I mean, every shop within 50 miles of Detroit was working 24 hours to make it work.
So for a brief moment, Bono captured the Detroit pizza market. There were loads of people at home going, I'd like a pizza. We can't. Bono's clogged up the whole system.
It's better than your man with his loaves and fishes. I mean, come on, 10,000 pizzas, that's pretty good.
The important thing about the loaves and fishes, Dave, was that it didn't impact on loaf and fish production for anybody else. That's the whole thing of the story. I spent some time briefly in, Tanzania.
Yeah.
And there was all these little fishing villages around the lake, but not as many as I thought there was. And we had a local guide who was driving us around, and I said to him, I'm slightly surprised there aren't more fishermen. How come? And he said, oh, they recently changed the rules in respect of fishing. And I said, what did they ban? Was it gill nets or something like that? And he said, no, dynamite. Genuinely, they used to go and lob in dynamite and hoover up whatever came up. Anyway, the Pope's almoner has sent round 15,000 ice creams to two nearby prisons to help the prisoners cool down. Mm. This is because Italy is in the middle of a heat wave so significant that Sicily had temperatures
of 48 or 49 or something.
48.8.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nudging 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
You could fry an egg on a rock. Yeah, that'd be horrible.
If you had an egg.
Hey.
Do you want to go back?
Yep.
To the really significant story of the week?
Yep.
Okay, I'll quote The Guardian because they get it wrong. They say, groundbreaking studies into how well beards soften punches to the face and the benefits of transporting rhinoceroses upside down were honoured on Thursday night with one of the most coveted awards in science, the Ig Nobel Prize.
Oh, the Ig Nobel Prize. Yeah, that's the one. I know it well. Yeah, we had this before, I'm sure, about a year ago.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. We had it a year ago. Yeah. Do you know why? Because it's annual.
It's annual,
so,
yeah.
The reason the Guardian get it wrong is they're focusing on the study about the benefits of transporting rhinoceroses.
Wait a minute, you were taking cows off a mountain last week with helicopters.
I know, it links.
Yeah.
So it turns out if you want, let's say you are a Swiss farmer who farms rhinoceri instead of cows and you want to bring them down the mountain, you are faced with the choice of, will I undersling my rhinoceros and keep him or her in an upright position, or will I suspend him or her from his feet? Well, thank God scientists have looked into this.
And the conclusion is?
Well, before we get to the conclusion, Dave, I think one of the things that's vital in science is that the people who do the hard work get recognised. So a team of, and I'm not making this up, this is genuine scientific work, all of these people are funded scientists: Robin Radcliffe, Mark Yeago, Peter Morkel, Estelle Merkel, Pierre Dupriez, Piet Beitel, Birgit Cutting, Backer Manuel, Jan-Hendrik Dupriez, Michelle Miller, Julia Philippe, Stefan Parry and Robin Gleed, all established that if you want to transport a rhinoceros, the best way to do it is upside down from its feet.
Oh, so wait a minute. The conclusion was that having done this study, they found out the best way. Well, then maybe they deserve a prize for that isn't the Ig Nobel Prize.
Well, in this instance, I wouldn't have thought it was a sufficiently universal problem to be of relevance. But I suppose for it is of huge significance to those who have to transport rhinoceri and therefore is of value. But the reason I say the Guardian get it wrong is they are focusing on all of the wrong things. That was the prize for transportation. There are much more interesting ones.
Wow. I remember, wait a minute, last year you had the thermal asymmetry of the human scrotum. Do you remember that? No? which side is... Seriously, they went to a bunch of postmen and they went to a bunch of bus drivers. The postmen were standing up, the bus drivers were sitting down. I remember that last year. And whichever side is hotter than the other or something. And didn't they have one about how to kind of keep your crocodile down or something? Something to do with crocodiles. No, I can't.
The thermal asymmetry of the human scrotum. I have no recollection of having discussed that, but God, I hope it is correct. Well, there is one that is up there for the same kind of thing. The one that has just won the prize for medicine is a team of scientists who have demonstrated, and I quote, that sexual orgasms can be as effective as decongestant medicines at improving nasal breathing.
Oh, right, I see. Let it all hang out, kind of. I let it all out. Yeah, very good.
Indeed, if it means that if anybody ever says, not tonight, I've got a head cold, well, I got the solution right here, I think is the response. But what's interesting about this is the way they open. Now, this is a published piece of scientific research. The way that they open it is, and I quote from the journal.
Yep.
A physiological connection between the nose and the genitals has long been proposed. Were you aware of this, Dave?
No,
well, apparently so.
Well, I don't hang around in medical circles.
Well, the chief proposer was Sigmund Freud, who was a big believer in the theory of reflex nasal neurosis, as in there's something wrong with you. I bet you it's because there's something inside your nose. Not making it up, he genuinely believed this. So much so, he subjected patients to nasal surgery to fix neurotic problems and believed that sexual problems were connected to the nose.
Do you know, have you ever been to the Nobel Prize Museum place, the place where it all happens?
There you go.
I'm not. Yeah, well, I was there about 3 years ago. And it's a terrible thing to say. This is going to sound really bad. But like, it was actually kind of really not very exciting at all, even though we had a tour guy bring some few people around and we just joined that and whatever. It was whatever, but it wasn't very good. But that afternoon I went to the ABBA Museum. It was brilliant. But basically when I'm
In the ABBA Museum?
Oh, I tell you, like it's very, well, I mean, I don't know, have you ever been to these things? After a while they're just really stupid. Like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio is the biggest of them all, and even then you go, yeah, great, but one like in a few hours there it's enough. But anyway, and you say, oh look, there's all the costumes Prince wore between 1992 and 1994, this kind of thing. But anyway, the point is that there's a lot of stuff in there. They recreate sort of studio settings. They have loads of stuff. They have all the Eurovision stuff, obviously, as it happened, and lots of stuff around the place. But one of the things you can do, which is actually quite interesting, because I was just telling Al Jazeera this the other day, that if you go to the I was.
Oh, so how is Al?
Al's great. Anyway, so if you go to the museum in at one part of it, the four Abbas are standing there on a stage in a kind of a, I don't know, an AI kind of thing, and you can go up and sing with them, and you can kind of Dancing Queen, and you get a recording of it, then and you bring it home with you, and it's great. I didn't do it, but lots of other people did do it. It's fantastic. And by the way, even in the, when you see the studio, it's brilliant because it's a big window in the studio, and you see this lovely island across the way in Stockholm, saying, you know, this is where they made their lovely music. Anyway,
hang on a minute. Did you just pronounce the L in Stockholm?
Oh, Stockholm, Stockholm, Stockholm.
Now, just for a moment, this is one of those where I think for posterity, we just need to take a moment and look at what is just we've learned before we move on. Dave Fanning explained participation in ABBA karaoke at the ABBA Museum on Al Jazeera.
Well, yeah. You see, like...
Wow. Oh, let's leave it there. I don't want to know anymore. No, that's enough.
They asked me last week to talk about ABBA's return.
Just the fact that it
happened is enough. They're back in London and they built a special place just to appear as whatever they are, avatars. Or avatars, as they're called. So I was on having supper, and I thought it was on radio, and I was sitting there and your mum was saying, could you put your screen this way, could you put your screen that way? I would have had my annual shower if I'd known it was television. Really annoying.
Well, you going back to where this story began, which was with your visit to the Nobel Prize Museum, you are correct. Most Nobel Prizes, though very significant, are a little bit dull. Thankfully, this week's winners have changed that. I have two that I think are fundamental game changers for all of our lives.
Hold on, is this Ig Nobel or is it Nobel?
Ig. Right, Ig Nobel, the one that really matters.
So we're still with Ig. Yeah, go on.
You can have chemistry or economics. Which would you like?
Chemistry.
Well, the chemistry prize winners won for chemically analysing the air inside movie theatres to test whether the odours produced by the audience reliably indicate the levels of violence, sex, antisocial behaviour, drug use and bad language in the movie. And what they established is the answer is yes. You can rate movies by smelling the audience. Now, is that not phenomenal?
That's pretty cool. All right. So in other words, like The Exorcist or
it's
something.
It's amazing.
People were freaking out or any of those.
Correct.
Kind of, yeah, right. Okay. Very good.
If you measure the volatile organic compounds coming out of the audience, you can go, yeah, it's about a PG-13. Oh my God, it's an R. Oh, it's universal. Just by sniffing the audience. Like, that's huge.
I'd rather
the other one, which
paper.
Is even better.
Yep.
The other one, which is even better, and you will love, because this is, again, whatever about them being Ig Nobel winners, the science is accurate. So, the economics prize went to Pavlo Blavatsky for discovering that the obesity of a country's politicians is a good indicator of that country's corruption.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's a good indicator of generally the obesity in the populace. Of that, really? Corruption? Wow.
Yes. You can look at a country's politicians and by how fat they are, work out whether or not the country is corrupt. They looked at... What's your problem?
By that reckoning, Russia's not corrupt.
No, there are obviously exceptions to the rule.
Oh,
and there may be one or two
are.
Thin politicians amongst them. But if you take the median fatness of a bunch of cabinet ministers, it will correctly correlate with the median level of corruption of the country.
A take.
They collected 299 frontal face images of cabinet ministers from 15 post-Soviet states, right? So they looked at the governments of Armenia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, Estonia, Georgia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Latvia, Lithuania, Moldova, Russia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Ukraine, and Uzbekistan. And what they found was across
those 15
countries...
Wait a minute, there's one you mentioned there twice and it's one I've never heard of. Tajikistan.
Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah, what's that one? I don't know.
Kyrgyzstan. I didn't mention it twice. There's Kyrgyzstan and there's Tajikistan. They're very different places,
sorry.
Dave. And you owe both of them an apology. They have distinct cultures and histories. And to be smushed together like you've just done, that's nigh on a diplomatic incident.
Tell that to
anyway,
okay,
the fatter their politicians are, the more corrupt they are.
Right, that's fascinating. And they've, which one is the most corrupt? Who won?
I don't know.
Oh, right, okay.
We'll go Google them, see who's chubbier, then you'll know. In other news, a Catholic bishop has resigned after falling in love with a satanic erotic fiction.
I saw that, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's out
it's pretty good, yeah. Like yeah. More power to him.
He fell in love with now, what was it again? It was what was it?
No, he was doing Exorcists and all the like. Right. She writes satanic erotic fiction. You will know her, of course, from books including The Hell of Gabriel's Lust and the trilogy Amnesia, the titles of which I can't remember. Boom! I'm here all week. Tip your waitress. Try the veal. In other news.
Yeah.
The other thing was, Dave, I noticed it has been some time since we discussed any issues emerging from the Sunshine State.
Florida. Tell me all about it. Indeed. What's happening?
Well, the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office has arrested a woman following an armed standoff in a home on Michigan Boulevard near Madeira Avenue on Sunday.
Yep.
This is not unusual. What is unusual is that she was not a party to the armed standoff when it began. To give you the full of it, deputies in Pinellas County had plenty on their hands Sunday morning when they tried to defuse a standoff with an armed teenager. According to an arrest affidavit, a naked woman who had nothing to do with the situation made things even harder when she decided to drive a golf cart into the crime scene in Dunedin. So this woman saw cops and an armed man on a roof, all with guns pointing at each other, and thought, this is the environment into which I shall cruise nude on a golf cart.
Hold on, was she nude? Was she nude going along the golf cart anyway? Or did she take her clothes off and say, if I'm going to go into the centre of this standoff, I want to be nude?
This is why this needs a Netflix documentary. Who knows? Maybe she was watching at home and thought, well, hang on a minute, I can defuse this situation. Immediately disrobed, mounted the cart and accelerated towards the problem. Or maybe it was her mid-afternoon wander about the neighbourhood butt naked in a golf cart and she came upon this scene.
And was it all well that ends well?
No, she's been arrested for refusing to follow police orders and has been taken to jail. However,
can I use that phrase again? All well that ends well. I'll take another word. Are we finished?
Oh, yes.
We are.
Yes, we are.
Oh, very good.
No, okay. No, I mean, I had more. I put a lot
No, it's all right. You can wait till next week. Because, I mean, I don't think it'll matter. It doesn't matter.
You never come back to it. No, you don't pay attention either.
Well, just make a note of it. Thank you very much, Anton. See you later.
Bye, Dave.
Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.